I once heard a Protestant Christian pastor proudly say that Martin Luther was indirectly responsible for the United States. I must confess I agree with him. However, if we are going to give Luther credit for setting into motion a movement that would eventually lead to the United States, which this pastor perceived as a good thing, then we must blame Luther for communism, evolution, eugenics, and fascism. Those things that killed hundreds of millions of people in just a couple of centuries and are about to kill a lot more, because they all come from the same rebellious spirit that Luther unleashed, the Enlightenment. Yes, the madness started with Martin Luther. Luther unleashed a spirit of rebellion against the legitimate authority of the Catholic Church that spread throughout Europe and in particular to England, which then spread to the English colonies. Great Britain, a Christian monarchy, left the Catholic Church and started its own form of Christianity thanks to Martin Luther, and we've been in a snowball effect ever since, a slippery slope, you might say. First, the king wanted a divorce, but the Catholic Church wouldn't allow it, so he broke England away. That wouldn't have happened if Luther hadn't set precedent. Then other Christian groups wanted independence on religious matters from the Church of England, so they went to the colonies. Then the Masons unleashed their Enlightenment philosophies, rebelling against the British crown and establishing the first Enlightenment relativist republic, the United States. This ideology eventually spread across the world, leaving mountains of dead bodies in its wake. After the Christians got their rights, other groups wanted their rights too, setting off a chain reaction where each generation wants their rights but no further, being appalled at the last generation for denying them their rights, but equally appalled at the next generation for wanting theirs. I understand this, but that's unacceptable. The atheists wanted their rights, then the abortionists, then the Satanists, then the sodomites, leaving the American Christians of today scratching their heads saying, how could this happen in America? This is a Christian country. Well, the answer was right in front of them the whole time. After all, what did they think freedom of religion, speech, expression, and the right to pursue happiness meant? Once Christians demanded freedom from the Catholic Church to form their own erroneous theologies, then it was just a matter of time before others demanded freedom from Christianity and Christian morals, thrusting the entire world into the chaos we are experiencing. So how did America go from a country with a Christian culture to one of rampant divorce, casual sex, alphabet rights and gender confusion, witchcraft and occultism, being a mere few years away from full-blown Christian persecution? The answer is she revolted against the Christian British crown and established a mob-rule, democratic, secular republic in 1776. In other words, it was only a matter of time. Of course, this process was accelerated in the 20th century with the communist takeover of our institutions, education, and media, so Christians give our founding and the Constitution a pass, failing to realize it was our rebellious founding and the unbridled freedoms in our Constitution that allowed them to take over so rapidly in the first place. There was no safeguard against it. Freedom means freedom. And when one man, Joe McCarthy, tried to stop it, he was ridiculed, ostracized, and vilified. Why? Because he went after Hollywood. Ridiculous, right? Doesn't sound so ridiculous now, does it? He knew then they were all communists. But you've been taught and believe that he was a monster, when all he was trying to do was save our country, but the rebellious founding principles were against him. So if you're confused as to how America, this Christian country, could have fallen so far away from Christianity, the answer is, since the rebellion, it ceased being a Christian country and became a secular country where no one ideology is superior to another, a recipe for chaos. It was born out of rebellion and it will follow the rebel's path to destruction. Freedom of religion, speech, and expression are not Christian principles. The Bible says, have no gods before me, bridle your tongue, and watch how you conduct yourself. I know many of you think that I hate my country. I don't. I'm an American, and I love my country. Only in America is it considered unpatriotic if you disagree with the rebellious ideology that our government was founded on. In fact, I was an apostle of the neoconservative movement in the 90s, convinced the Republican Party was going to save America. I tried to convert everyone I saw, and I converted quite a few. I worshipped at the altar of capitalism and truly believed that this was God's country, until my eyes were opened. It's precisely because I love my country that I'm speaking out and trying to wake Christians up and red-pill them on this idea that God established the United States and that the Constitution was divinely inspired, because as long as they hold on to that false premise, they will continue to make compromises. As long as they want to save America in its original form, then the cultural decay will continue, leading to the inevitable persecution of Christians. And no, the Constitution won't protect us. It's a piece of paper, a human document. You want to save America? How are you going to do that? take the culture back to what your generation thinks is acceptable? Whose rights are you willing to get rid of in order to do that? And who gets to keep their rights? And why do you get to decide? What about women's rights? Are you willing to say women need to stay home and raise the children? The women's rights movement of the 1960s, making women in the workforce become the norm, and pornography are directly responsible for abortion, the skyrocketing divorce rate, children out of wedlock, single motherhood, and the rise of infidelity. The women's movement of the 60s has made it so that even if a couple wants to live a traditional life with the woman staying home and raising the kids, they can't do it without making major sacrifices because they can't afford it. Are you willing to get rid of pornography? You can't do that without getting rid of freedom of expression. Or are you going to tell me that pornography is okay, ignoring the studies that show it contributes to sex trafficking of women and children? We're talking about the greater good here, what is and is not good for society as a whole. To do that, we have to take it back to what God says is acceptable. We have to redo the whole thing. Because we can't fix our cultural problems without recognizing the flaws in our founding. And so it is because I love my country that I want what's best for it, which means becoming a truly Christian country and officially proclaiming Christ as King. Now, we don't have to reinvent the wheel. I'm not advocating to return under the English crown. All we would have to do is call for a constitutional convention, change the office of the presidency into a hereditary monarchy with the same powers the presidency has today, so those precious checks and balances can be there, proclaim this to be a Christian kingdom, giving Christianity superiority at least over other religions and not equality of religions, ideally Catholicism, but I'll take a generic freedom of Christianity, freedom of speech and expression to a point, so long as they don't offend Christianity or Christian morals and virtues, and impose Christian morality. No abortion, no alphabet rights, no divorce without consequences, and only Christianity in the public square and schools. If we did that, it would be a good start to getting back on track and maybe avoid the coming persecution. But we won't. The rebellious spirit of Protestantism is too ingrained into the American cultural mindset. Our Lady and the Catholic prophets saw all of this coming, so let me give you a rundown of what they say will happen if we don't get our act together. What I'm about to say comes from prophecies that are all approved by the Catholic Church and are private revelation, so no one is required to believe it, but they've been right so far. I'm not going to give specific prophecies, just a general consensus. I may do more specific videos in the future, and of course, don't take my word for it. You can do your own research. But here it goes. Christians all over the world will be persecuted and killed, and yes, that means in America. The world will rise up against the Catholic Church, and it will look all but dead. The church's enemies will claim victory. Rome will be attacked, the Pope will flee, but be captured and killed. There may be 3 days of darkness, where hell will be unleashed, and there may be an illumination of conscience, where God gives everyone a second chance by directly communicating with them the truth of the state of their soul, where they would go if they died, and that Catholicism is the truth. The world will be thrown into a frightful war, which will be short, but kill a great part of humanity. This is the great chastisement. What Christians are left will rally around the legitimate heir to the French throne. He will wage war against the enemies of God. He will conquer all of Europe, North Africa, and the Middle East, uprooting every republic, rebuilding the old Roman Empire under his rule. He won't be the Antichrist, but his successor may be. The Catholic Church will come out of hiding and elect a new pope. The pope will crown the king, Holy Roman Emperor. The emperor will reign supreme in temporal matters and virtually rule the world. The Pope will reign supreme in spiritual matters, and there will be an era of peace. But it will be short. 25 to 40 years of good harvest will once again corrupt men. When the good king dies, his throne may be usurped by the Antichrist, or he may come during the chastisement. That part's not clear. The great French monarch, the Holy Pope, the restoration of the Catholic Church in Christendom, and the era of peace will happen. The chastisement could have been avoided, but probably not now. But it can be mitigated through praying the rosary, penance, wearing the brown scapular, consecrating yourself to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, and practicing the first 5 Saturdays devotion. If you do these things and the chastisement is severe because other people aren't doing them, you and your family will have special protection from Our Lady and be better off. And if you're a Protestant and think, well, we don't have to do that Mary stuff, we can just leave Mary out of this, let me quote Jesus from the most recently approved apparition of Mary, Our Lady of the Rosary of St. Nicholas, approved in 2016. Jesus said to the visionary, "Before the world was saved through Noah's Ark, today the Ark is my mother. Through her, souls will be saved because she will bring them toward me. He who rejects her rejects me. All the prophecies are clear. It is her immaculate heart that will triumph in the end, because it is Christ's will. Until my next video, God bless.